The first Bible reading comes from the Old Testament, the book of Hosea, which can be found on page 907 of the Bibles, or a page close to it. That's chapter 11, page 907, Hosea, chapter 11, 1 to 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them, because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates, and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, he will not by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboam? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading this morning is taken from Luke, chapter 11, check the page, verses 11 to 24. Here, please stand. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Others tested him by asking him for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I have left. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
All the best laid plans can go astray. The reading I think we were supposed to have actually was the parable of the prodigal son, but that might have fitted better with the theme. When I was asked to preach on Hosea, that's the subject for today, Hosea, it took my mind back over 40 years. Some of you may know and remember, some of you weren't even born then, that Wendy and I used to teach Pathfinders up at Cage Green, as it was then, rather than St. Philip's. And we had quite a big Pathfinder group at that stage. And we taught to a syllabus, and we took the 4th years, and for 5 or 6 years in a row, we taught a passage or a talk. One of the talks was on contrasting and comparing, which is good for GCSE. These children were 14 years old. I'm not quite certain what they would have made of it. But to compare and contrast Amos with Hosea, and that was Amos' message of judgment and Hosea's message of love, which is very much within the passage we just heard this morning. Judgment and love, and judgment comes in Hosea as well. In Amos, there were sort of pictures that we use of ripening fruit or fruit that had gone off and a wall that was being measured by a plumb line. For Hosea, it was a case of him living out his message. Because poor old Hosea, we don't know when he heard God's call, was told to marry a woman called Gomer, who had slept around quite a bit, but he was to marry her, and he did. He had 3 children by her, and as soon as those children had grown up a little bit, she went off and found another couple of men to go with. And then I think she ended up as a temple prostitute. And eventually she was in the slave market and she was being sold. And Amos, who had always loved her, even though she went away from him, bought her back, redeemed her from that place, took her back, and eventually took her back as his wife. And it's that picture of what happened in his life that he was asked to prophesy to Israel. It might seem odd to us that God made Hosea go through that experience, but it did help Hosea understand God's love for his people Israel. If Hosea loved Gomer and was prepared to redeem her and welcome her back, how much more was God's love for Israel, even though Israel had been so unfaithful to him? Hosea understood that sin of a nation and that there would be judgment, but he understood from his own experience that God's love survived all the unfaithfulness of his people. God would punish them, but his love for them would go on and on. So Hosea speaks of God's love for Israel in 2 ways. And the first one is the one I've said, this picture of marriage, taking Gomer back. But the second one is the passage that we have read to us this morning. And that's a picture of a child and a father, and that father's love for that child. And that's in Hosea chapter 11. And if you'd like to turn that, if you've got a Bible, it's not on the screen. So if you'd like to turn to that, I don't know the page number, but as I carry on, perhaps look at that. It's very much like the picture, even though we didn't have it read to us, of the prodigal son, Jesus' parable about the father and his love for that child that had wandered off from him. So Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. In many ways, our view of God as father is miles too small. It could be that we've not had a particularly happy experience of our father for ourselves. You know, I don't know what it was like for you, but you could have had a domineering dad, a tyrant, someone who was selfish and aggressive. It could be that some of us had a good experience of our father, someone who loved us and respected us, and we assume that God's like him, but perhaps not better than him. Or we could have had a very one-sided view of God as father, a picture of God spoiling his children, never saying no, never allowing anything bad to happen to us, a soft and gentle God. But the God that Hosea speaks of is so much more than we can ever know from our own experience. Chapter 11 opens with some fantastic verses. It opens with, "When Israel was a child, I loved him." And Hosea wanted people to remember what God had done for his people in rescuing them from Egypt. And that was the moment he first called Israel his son. Moses said it to Pharaoh, Israel, his firstborn son, when he was trying to rescue them and take them out of Egypt. Now in the passage we have three paragraphs of different sides of God's character as their father. And the first one is his patience, his nurture in teaching them, and that's verses 1 to 4, the way he brings them up. And secondly, in verses 5 to 7, his discipline of them. And then thirdly, in verses 8 to 9, that's the bit that I'm looking at within the passage, his devotion to them as his children. So let's look firstly at his patience in teaching. That's a bit long ago for my kids. Rachel's there now, but I can't really imagine sort of walking down the road with her anymore, or sort of holding up by my hands. But I've got grandchildren. It's the same with them, of running behind them when they're learning to ride a bike. That's hard on the back. God teaches them how to walk, holding their hand, rubbing them better when they fall over. And then in verse 4, you see it's feeding time. Get coming down to their level to feed them. You can't feed a child from above. You need to get at the same level as them. It points to what God did for Israel in the early years, when they left Egypt, when they came to Mount Sinai. God gave them some rules. He taught them how to walk at that big journey that they went on. He fed them with manna. He gave them water when Moses hit that rock. He gave them meat. He gave them bread. He gave them a word and a promise. But he says, the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and burnt incense to images. It's tragic. Really talking about the more I called them, the more they went away and they didn't respond to him. And then we have the bit when the child is growing up from a toddler to a stroppy teenager. All he has done for them. Now some of us have experienced, even for a short time, of a child running away, perhaps leaving home for a bit, and the grief and angst that that causes. We too don't credit God with all that he has done for us. Perhaps we're a bit slow to respond to his leading, caught up with the world around us. What does he do? He shows his grace. He stoops down to feed us again, to put us back on our feet, to welcomes back, even though we've messed up. So that's the first bit, patience in teaching. And then secondly, he disciplines them, verses 5 to 7. The situation in Hosea's day was that people would not return to him. What would you do if your child sort of got away from your hand and ran into the middle of a road? Would you let them do it, or might you admonish them a little bit? I don't know if you're allowed to smack anymore, eh? Instead of living for him, they turned away. We too turn to things that shouldn't take over all our time and energy. For Israel, it was Baals and false gods. What for us? What are we concentrating on? What's taking up most of our time? Is it our careers? Is it the family? Is it our home, you know, wanting a more luxurious place to live? None of these are wrong in themselves. We need to get a balance in our lives with what we spend our time and our money on. How deep is our love for God? The consequence for Israel was that Assyria, like Egypt, will come and take them into slavery and occupation and oppression. They'll go back to where they came from. God's fatherly love is gentle, but not soft. He loves us too much to be a pushover. When we stray, he disciplines us because he wants us back close to him. And just a question for you and for me. When we're away from him, whatever that means, does life get easier or more difficult? Patient teaching, firm discipline, and then thirdly, his devotion to us, and that's in verses 8 and 9. Hosea uses words filled with deep feeling from the very heart of God, and I'm going to read them to you now. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zebin? They were cities that were overthrown when Sodom was destroyed. You remember Lot and his wife who turned back and was turned to stone. He goes on, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger. I will not devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. You know, when the Assyrians arrive, that should be the end of it. God's relationship with his people, Israel. They've ignored him. Shouldn't God disown them? But he can't do it. Hosea's listening in on God talking to himself. Deep in God's heart is his love and devotion to his people. And why is that? And it is in that verse 9. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. And I want to say that his love is utterly unlike anything else we can ever find. When we're let down, we tend to cut people off. It always worries me when I hear people say, I can never forgive. But God, even when he's treated appallingly, deep inside, he cannot stop loving us. His love goes on and on. And God sent Jesus as a sign of that love. Rather than giving up on the human race, God's Son became a human being. Jesus died on a cross to rescue us. That's how much love God has for us. And his forgiveness remains open to all of us. When Jesus died and rose again, anyone who would turn to him and trust him and follow him can know love, God's love and forgiveness. And it's like Jesus' story of the prodigal son. Whatever we've done, he longs for us to come home to him. And he runs to meet us when we turn to him. What a picture of God's love. So Hosea speaks of a father who is patient in teaching us, who disciplines us to help us stay close, but who is utterly devoted to us with a love beyond anything else we could ever find. A prayer as I finish. Almighty God, encircle us, teach and nurture us, guide and protect us, for we are still weak and foolish. In your great love, stay close and watch over us always. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.